I walk up to this podium with fear and trembling. I suppose it should be that way for anyone who comes up here at any day, at any time. Every single thing that has been said this morning is in the pages of my notes. Living, and he's actively involved in the affairs of man. And there's a battle that is waging for us to have correct perspective, for us to know that he is God. Seems more recently that I have witnessed many, many individuals who are struggling with this perspective. For some, it's an easy realignment. For others, the perspective has been skewed for so long that it becomes dangerous and destructive. I think of all the struggles in a Christian's life, and one of the most painful, the most deadly, is when the character of God is skewed. The nature of who he is comes into question. And we forget that he is God. His majesty and his splendor, the creator of all things. The scribe of the written word. Somehow our circumstances and our situations and the ways of this world get us focused on the things of this world, and we stop looking up. And we forget who he is. The longer one has walked with the Lord, the more difficult this situation becomes, because we've spent so many years believing one thing. And then heartache comes, disappointment comes, tragedy comes. Circumstances don't work out the way that we think life should be, and his nature gets distorted. And it opens the door to a searching. You see, I believe people today are searching for something, someone to believe in. This searching is often very deep. It's the searching that I call the dark night of the soul. It's not just doing your little Oswald Chambers 10-minute morning devotion. It's a deep searching. That leads to sleepless nights. Rivers of tears. Are you God? Are you who you say? Is everything that I have staked my life on the truth? isn't that at the heart of every situation? Are you God? Are you real? This morning, that's what he's saying. I am real. I am living. I am truth. Turn to me. Believe in me. Align your life with the word of the living God. Is it all real? Or is it just a story too good to be true? I believe that every man and every woman come to this crossroads in life. You say every man and every woman, yes. I believe that. In every person's journey of salvation, they will reach this valley. And the Lord showed me a plain as far as you could see, and people walking through this journey of life, and they came to this ridge and this valley that was so deep, and you could barely see across to the other side of the ridge. But you could not see on the ends how long this valley was. And so the only way that you could get to the other side was to go through the valley. Because you couldn't walk around it. You've got to go through it. You've got to go through it. For some, going through that valley strengthens them, and their faith soars. They become Christian veterans, we call them. Those that will not be moved and not be shaken. They're steadfast, they're mighty in battle, they're unwavering in their devotion. And they're completely committed to his lordship. But to others, this searching, when not guided correctly, will lead to worldly wisdom and utter destruction. I have so many scriptures this morning. And I pray, oh God, that your word would go beyond the things that I say. That your word would speak. Open up the dark channels of our minds that have been closed off to truth. Reveal to us by your spirit the depths of who you are. And get our eyes fixed on eternal things. Fixed on you. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Keith said this morning, there are some in this place who just don't get it. You simply do not understand. I understand you. I understand that. But there's an intelligence that you're leaning on, a wisdom of this world. It's a reasoning, but it's a reasoning that will destroy you if you are not careful. I recently had a very painful conversation with a person who's very near to me, and I asked them if I could share a bit of that conversation with you. And with tears and anguish of soul, they said to me, I keep looking for God. I keep looking for him, but I can't find him. He grabbed his head, tormented. He said, I keep looking. I keep hearing all of these people say all these things about him, but I don't see him. Where is he? My reply to them was, you will never find him in the wisdom of this world. You will never find him in the wisdom of this world. Continuing in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and the foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Why is it so difficult to believe? Is it because of the persistent unbelief in our culture? It seems as if you're going to participate in anything intellectual, anything social, anything moral or political life of this time, you have to believe that you are responsible solely for yourself. Only responsible to yourself. But God has revealed himself, and he has revealed himself clearly. The problem with believing in God is not a lack of evidence, but our rejection of the evidence. Our persistent desire to be our own bosses in intellectual matters and in all of life. But what if we were to look at this from God's perspective? What if we were to look at it from his vantage point, his viewpoint? Sometimes children have a hard time believing things, obeying what we tell them simply because of their perspective. They're looking at things from their point of view, from their small 3 years of lifetime experience. We look at things from our knowledge of many years of experience. Sometimes you students at Calvary Commission, you struggle simply because of your perspective. You're looking at things as sheep. Your leadership is looking at things as shepherds. And so it is with God. Sometimes it's difficult to believe God or to believe his word simply because of perspective. You see, God desires to reveal himself to his people. Do you think he would make it difficult to reveal his nature, to reveal the strength of who he is? Do you think he makes that difficult? Do you think it's hard for him to reveal himself? Certainly not. He is the creator of all things. He is the majestic, sovereign, holy God of the Bible. And he surely communicates with us clearly and easily. The issue is not with him speaking. the issue is with us listening. Be still and know that I am God. Stop talking and listen to me. 5 minutes of silence to get a right perspective. He is God, and everything he has to say is far more important than what you have to say. You may desire him to show himself to you in one way, when in fact he's trying to show you himself much more clearly in another. He's saying it is simple. Take it by faith. Even babies understand. Psalms 8:2. This scripture is so misquoted. It's used in some of the craziest ways, but it says this: through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. The Message Bible says this. I love this. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk. And silence atheist babble. Naomi, when your babies are crying, they're silencing the avenger. Even children understand. Do you see the contrast? God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. A sweet baby's voice to come up against the roar of the enemies. Even infants understand. He hasn't made it difficult to believe. In fact, he's made it quite simple. You see, God doesn't just reach out to the intellect, the highly educated. Quite honestly, I don't believe he's that impressed with how smart you are. Is that okay for me to say that? I don't think he's up there thinking, wow, Fred is so intelligent. I mean, his mind. How am I ever going to reach him? First Corinthians 1, Paul reminds the Corinthians who thought they were very smart that not many of them were actually very wise by worldly standards. He says in verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You see, God doesn't want people boasting about how they discovered him. Oh, well, I found God by studying. That no man would boast. Rather, he is to be given all the credit and all the glory. His perspective is to reach all his people from the least to the greatest. And he is more than able. Psalms 19, 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." Paul says that God is clearly revealed, even to the most wicked. In Romans 1, 19 and 20, he says, "For what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You here in this place are without excuse. And you have to stop giving yourself excuses. God's revelation is everywhere, just as God is everywhere. Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Let me tell you, this particular psalm, I ate this psalm at a very dark time in my life. I understand being in that valley. And I wanted to run away as far as I could go, because everything I had once believed was being tested. And this psalm became my daily bread. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. Do you want to know what God's perspective is on the way that we believe when we don't believe who he is? It's very simple. He says in Psalms 14:1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." It's that simple. Paul goes on to say in Romans 1, 21 through 25, how these fools respond to God's revelations, the things that he has made so very clear. He says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him." You see, people are on their deathbed and they're saying, "Why would a good God allow this to happen to me?" You neither glorified him as God nor ever gave him thanks. Why recognize him now and blame him for your circumstances? But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. When we try to rule ourselves, even to rule our own thinking, we become fools. The trouble is that it's hard for fools to abandon their foolishness. So this morning we may have a few fools in this place.
Yes, Lord.
It's what the word calls it. Foolishness. This morning, before I even came up to this platform, that's who he was calling. the foolish. Those whose minds have been darkened, those who are looking for him in the wisdom of this world, you will not find him. And if by God's grace you're willing to admit that you are a fool, I invite you to come to Jesus for wisdom. You see, when you see the world from God's perspective and from his point of view, you will see that it's not a chaotic mess. It's not an irrational world of chance. It is in perfect order because he is God. And he is moving. He is in control. He has not forsaken us. He understands everything that's going on. And my desire today is to get your perspective to line up with God's perspective, to see things as he sees them. As I was praying and studying, I said, Lord, what would you have your people to hear? And he led me straight to Isaiah 40, verse 6. And I thought, this is how foolish my thinking was. Okay, what verses out of here should I read, Lord? Which ones do you want? As if what I have to say is any more important than what he has to say in his word. His message is his word. Isaiah 40, and I'm going to read starting in verse 6 simply because this is what he led me to. A voice cries out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. I speak to you who have been called by God. Do not be afraid. Speak the word of the Lord. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his rewards is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or who with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor are its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, A metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you, the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who do you think you are? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When you see a glimpse of God's majesty, his creation, how could we ever begin to think that we are more intelligent, that there is not a God? The slightest recognition of the mystery and the majesty of God will overwhelm our finite minds. We need to have a correct perspective. We need to take 5 minutes and reflect on the eternal, not the temporal. To get our eyes fixed on the one who is the creator of all things. Oh, everything will be put in order. Your chaotic mess will turn into a straight path. Because it is then you only have one resolve, and that is to surrender. When you look at him and who he is, Mariah, would you come? When you look at who he is and what he has done, and you get a right perspective, you will have absolutely no other recourse but to surrender. You see, he knows you. Are you looking at things from your perspective, your circumstances, your situations, denying him his deity? Or do you have his perspective? Being the God and the creator of all things. Are you a fool this morning who needs proper alignment, wisdom from God? God has spoken from the moment you walked into this sanctuary. He is tearing down the walls of pride in this place. Those things, those idols that have been your protection. You see, the world doesn't bow to him because if they believe that he is creator God, they are going to have to surrender to his lordship. So they deny him his deity in his existence. God is not finished in this place. And so we continue to wait. If you are here this morning and you are in that dark night of the soul, look up. Don't stop searching, but look up. Look up. Look up to the heavens and consider the work of his hand. Put him back in that glorious place where he belongs. Perspective. Who is he in your life? And who are you in yours? Oh, his love for you is so great. And he is not angry with you. But he says, do not deny me my rightful place. So let him have his way this morning. Once again, the altars are open, and he's waiting. Have you not heard? Do you not see?
Words we heard this morning were echoed from Isaiah. There's still someone in here that maybe it's because your age, maybe because who's here, you're afraid somebody's looking. But listen to what was spoken hundreds of years ago that was spoken this morning from Isaiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. I implore you on the name of Jesus this morning. If you're a man here this morning, and that pride is keeping you in that seat because you're afraid somebody's going to be seeing you get up and come to this altar, I implore you on the name of Jesus, don't let this word be about you. Get up and come to this altar. Care more about what Jesus thinks about you than what somebody sitting in here thinks about you.
These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold, one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. To whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you.
If this morning that you have been revealed by the Spirit of God, this is a clinic, not a condemning society. And if you need help, if you're having a hard time believing in your background, and you don't seem to acknowledge God with clarity, this is foolishness. You heard the truth this morning. What will you do with it? Just say, Lord, forgive me. We're here to pray with you. We're here to minister to you. That's what we're here for. And if you're a fool, don't play with God. There was a lady that kept inviting her husband to a Billy Graham campaign. And every night she says, come, honey, come with me. Come, this is the last night, come with me. No, stubborn as a mule. He went to the refrigerator, got him a glass of milk, and dropped dead right there. We can't play with God. Whatsoever you sow, you reap. And if this morning you're having a hard time with your belief system, come. I mean, this is where you get help. You've heard the truth, so what more do you need? Just give him your heart. We're all stubborn. We all have to deal with stubborn, but it's as witchcraft. Stubbornness is as witchcraft. And idolatry is, I don't remember what it says in the scripture. Let the Lord work. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Our society is saturated with sexual sin. People living in adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, just giving their bodies over to sin and going to church with a smile on their face with Satan on their shoulders. There's help for you. There's help for you. Maybe you got into drinking, or maybe you're just watching dirty movies, whatever it may be. And sisters, let me say something to you as a man. God help us as a society. We've lost our modesty. We've lost that tender modesty. Instead of dressing for God, we dress for attracting people and stumbling them. And it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm a man, and I know what I've been. I thought as a man. I think as a man. I see as a man. But God wants to give victory. He wants to give victory. May the Lord just bless you this morning. Just consider what the Lord is saying. We've heard from God. This can't be any clearer. It can't be any clearer. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. Let him encourage you this morning. He's a friend. Hallelujah.
I'd like for you to try one thing this week. For each day as you get up, sometime during the day, just take 5 minutes and ask God to speak to you, because He's not a silent God. As Tina has said, He reveals Himself to those that seek Him, to those that will listen. Just quiet yourself before the Lord and ask Him, give Him 5 minutes, you know, where you're not just praying and even praising, but just give Him 5 minutes. Say, Lord, speak to me today. Write down what He says. And put those words, whatever He's given you, just allow it to minister to your heart and go forth in that power of the encouragement. You know, we've heard a lot of things this morning. God has spoken to us. God's not silent. You know, in the Old Testament, even Isaiah, I believe it was, said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And so God was speaking even then, but even then, just as today, sometimes we have a hard time listening and receiving what God has to say. So just take those 5 minutes to say, Lord, speak to me today. And God can deal with mistakes. He was just speaking to me about that in some situations and with you deal with employees. And it's like God was saying, I can deal with mistakes. I can cover them and it's okay, but I can't deal with rebellion. So God wants us just to honor Him with our whole lives. Just give that 5 minutes to Him and seek Him and be encouraged in the Lord that as you allow Him to direct your paths, that He will guide you, He will lead you, and He's not going to take you down the wrong way. The Bible says, if Jesus said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, will I give, you know, will the Father in heaven give you a serpent if you ask for a fish? Will He give you rocks if you ask for bread? He says, no, He won't do that. So He's going to listen to your prayers as you seek Him. And I just encourage you to do that. I have a couple quick announcements to make. And we're just going to allow those that are seeking the Lord to continue to do that. But I've got a couple announcements to make. Next Sunday, Kobe and Shawnee Ferguson and their Frida, Gordon and Frida Lindsay's, she's a granddaughter of Gordon and Frida Lindsay of Christ for the Nations. They're going to be here next Sunday morning and next Sunday evening just to share with us what God is doing in Israel, whatever God's laid on their heart. So it's just going to be a really awesome time of seeing what God is doing through the little nation of Israel, through that little people that God has chosen just to show His glory through